This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Last week, we heard from Dawn Addis, one of the candidates vying to represent the Central Coast in the State Assembly. This week, we speak with incumbent Jordan Cunningham, allowing each candidate equal time. The San Luis Obispo Tribune has provided comprehensive coverage of the race for the 35th State Assembly District, fact-checking claims by both candidates and looking at their records and positions. On October 22nd, the Tribune's editorial board endorsed Cunningham with reservations. In this conversation, KCBX's Greta Mart follows up on the Tribune's look at concerns about Cunningham's voting record, starting with Cunningham's no vote on SB 276, the school vaccine law written in response to allegations that doctors were writing fraudulent exemptions.
That was probably the toughest vote in terms of figuring out where my district was at and figuring out what the right vote was on policy. I'd say it's one of the hardest ones I've had. And I actually met with probably well over 100 constituents. I met with doctors. I researched it. I'm very pro-vaccine as a personal matter. I think vaccinations are important. What the law did a number of years ago was they eliminated the personal belief exemption for vaccines and moved it to a medical-based exemption. What this bill, SB 276, would have done, well, did, because it was passed and signed, is it eliminated the medical exemption. And instead of the doctor making the determination that it might not be right for a particular kid to have certain vaccines at a certain time, that would be subject to the oversight and review of a board and of a bureaucracy within the Department of Public Health. And because I strongly believe that doctors should be making the decisions on medical issues in consultation with their patients and in their patients' best interest for their health, I did not end up supporting that bill. I thought the law as it was adequate, and it struck the right balance between vaccinations and, you know, achieving that public good, but also letting the doctors make the decisions on a medical basis for their patient.
How about the next one, AB 424, which deals with guns in schools? Can you talk about your decision-making process on that one?
Yeah, it's already California law that you can't have guns within 1,000 feet of schools. That's been the law for a long time. That's appropriate, of course. Before 424 was enacted, a particular school district, if it so chose, could petition for an exemption to that so that if they wanted to have, say, a former law enforcement officer who had a concealed carry permit and, you know, had a career of 25 or 30 years of safely handling a firearm. If a school district felt like, you know, maybe on a temporary basis, they wanted to have a former law enforcement officer be able to carry near a school for security reasons, they could get that exemption. And what 424 did is eliminate that exemption. And I thought it wasn't necessary to do that. It's California law. You can't have guns within 1,000 feet of schools, and I think that's totally fine. I support that.
Okay, got it. And how about the last one that the Tribune brings up in this article? SB 320 requires public university health centers to stock abortion medication, but only if it's funded by private contributions.
Yeah, that was a tough vote. You know, generally, I think that there were some concerns raised that there would be public funds used potentially to subsidize that. You know, I think general as a general matter, and, you know, I should note too, I support. It keeps being raised in this campaign that I don't support Planned Parenthood. I got a 66% vote rating from Planned Parenthood. I support 97% of what Planned Parenthood does. It's important for contraception access. They do a lot of work for people's health, and all those things are supportable. I have not in my public career supported public funds being used for abortion. And that's where I've always drawn the line. I've been very upfront with voters about that. And, you know, some people on the right don't like that I support a lot of what Planned Parenthood does. Some people more on the left don't like that I draw the line there. But I think that's a pretty reasonable position to be in. And I thought that that particular bill had the potential to disturb that balance.
Can you just elaborate for our listeners the issues they raise about you not commenting on federal politics? Can you just get into that a little bit?
Well, first of all, that isn't accurate. I have written public letters and commented publicly many times when our federal policies, when I felt that they encroached on California's right to make certain determinations that should be left to California, particularly in the environmental area. I spoke out publicly against opening up the Carrizo Plains National Monument to more oil drilling. I have spoken out and written letters opposing the expansion of offshore oil drilling off our coasts. I have called out the administration and in fact, I co-authored a resolution calling out the administration when it wanted to not grant California the waiver that every president since Nixon had granted California to set its own auto emission standards. We have more cars in California than anywhere. When I was a kid going to LA, you could barely see in the afternoon because of all the smog. We've been able to clean that up in a tremendous way because we got those waivers and we were able to implement our own standards that are a little bit higher. And it's natural that a state with mountains and basins and valleys like ours that has the most cars should be able to set a little bit a stricter standard on auto emissions. So where the federal administration or the federal government or Congress has encroached, in my view, on what should be California's ability to govern our own affairs, I haven't been shy about calling that out. What I will not do is pontificate on every federal issue that comes around. I don't think the voters hired me to do that. They hired me to make good laws, to advance our region, to get things done in infrastructure investment on the Central Coast, which we've done a tremendous job of in 4 years. They didn't hire me to be like an armchair pundit and criticize the president or criticize Congress. I'm not in the federal government. That isn't the job they hired me to do.
Can you just speak briefly on the Tribune's beef with you about the conducting negative campaigns?
Well, I'd say, look, there's elections. Elections require informing the voters about your opponent's policy positions. I mean, I think there's a difference between so-called negative campaigning, where you're telling voters what your opponent's record in office has been, how they've voted, what their public statements have been. For instance, you know, my opponent has voted for numerous tax and fee increases on the city council, supported increasing garbage collection rates 20% in a pandemic when people are struggling to get by. So my job as a candidate is to inform people about those things so that they have all the information they need to select who they would like to represent them in state government. That's one thing, and I think that's a legitimate function of a campaign. It's another thing to go very, very personal and start attacking somebody's character, or, you know, implying that they, you know, don't show up for work, or that they don't, you know, with totally misleading and false claims and that don't have any backing. And I have not done that. I have not criticized my opponent's character in any way, shape, or form. Every one of the ads I have run is based on her public record while on the city council and her public statements while as a candidate for the assembly, and it's all about policy, and that's totally appropriate, and that's what campaigns need to do.
That was 35th District State Assembly incumbent Jordan Cunningham speaking with KCBX's Greta Mart.